Won't it be nice to gather around that throne someday? To be in heaven in God's presence? Where there is no sorrow, there's no anguish, there's no pain, there's no suffering. There's only joy and happiness. That's going to be a good day where we get to spend all eternity with God. In the meantime, sometimes we have to suffer. We have to suffer for various reasons that we'll talk about. And sometimes as bad things happen to us and our life isn't going the way that we think it should go or the way that we'd like it to go, we get depressed. We get down in the dumps. Walk around with our heads down. Maybe we have a hard time getting out of bed. Maybe we have a hard time functioning in life because we're so upset. We're so distraught over certain events and things that happen in life. That is a part of life. It happens to all of us from time to time. But as we look in the Bible, we'll find out that this is where we find the solution. This is where we find the answers to all of life's problems, including the problem of depression and being down in the dumps. Now, I do want to say, as I always do as I start something like this, that there are times and there are situations where people are depressed to the point where they need help. They need medical attention. They need to take medicine to overcome that. But even those people, even in those situations, if that is done without God, it is still not complete. We still have to turn to God no matter what the situation is. So if you have a problem that is a consistent problem, God is still going to help that issue, turning to Him. And if you have a problem where just sometimes you're in the dumps based on various reasons, the answer will be found here, and we will examine those answers this morning. As I stated earlier, I'm so glad everyone's here today to look into God's Word with us. We do have some visitors. We're thankful that you've taken the time to come out and be with us. We try to focus on what God says, because I'm not smart enough to give you the answers. I don't know the answers. And you're not smart enough either. I'll just let you in on that. I don't mean to disappoint you. If you thought you were the smartest person in the world, you're not. Okay, the answers are here. And we are so blessed, so grateful that God gave them to us. God's ways are the best ways. God's plans are the best plans. And we want to show people by the way that we live our life, not that we know what we're doing, but that we're just following God's plan. And it helps us. And it will help everybody else too. God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at three different points. First of all, we're going to look at what depression is and who suffers from it. So what it is and who. What and who are the two key words there. And then we're going to look at why people suffer from depression and when are we most susceptible to it. If we know when Satan is going to attack us with this attack of his, we will better be able and equipped to deal with it. So why and the when are the key questions we're going to answer there. And then the point number three is how. How do we overcome it? How do we get to a point where we can rise up from a situation where we are feeling down in the dumps and we are feeling depressed? So let's start with point number one. What is depression? I put a definition down here. It talks about it being a disorder marked especially by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking and concentration, a significant increase or decrease in appetite, and time spent sleeping. Feeling of dejection and hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal tendencies. Now, I don't put that definition in there to say, hey, Webster knows what depression is, and we better listen to him. I put that in there because as we will look at the examples in the Bible, we will see that that's exactly what these people felt like. And so we don't really need the definition. We just need to look at some of these stories, and we start with the great King David. Now, David's an interesting case because David is the psalm writer. He writes these beautiful songs of how great God is and how awesome God is. These songs of praise. And you would think, well, David was just always happy. And David was always this excited person to worship God. But that wasn't the case in David's life. The Psalms not only include times of happiness and praise, the Psalms are times where David pours out his heart to God and he tells God, God, I am feeling terrible. Psalm 38 and verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Does that sound sad to you? David went through some times in his life where he was extremely sad. And the way that this talks about, I am greatly troubled. I go mourning all day long. I am feeble. And he says, I am severely broken. Something's not right. Do you think David had a hard time getting out of bed during certain times in his life? Do you think David was so down in the dumps that he didn't want to face the challenges of being king? Yes, he was. In Psalm chapter 6, as I was going through this, I was surprised to find so many of the Psalms that David wrote to have this kind of an overlying tone to them. Psalm 6 and verse 2, have mercy on me, O God, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Verse 6 says, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all of my enemies. David states that he is weak and that he is troubled. Remember the definition? It says it has to do with people who have an inability to sleep. Sometimes people sleep too much. David has this idea of, I lie down at my bed at night and I can't sleep because I'm so down in the dumps. All I do when I go to bed at night is I cry. That's pretty bad. And that's worse than most of us have experienced. And it's probably in line with what some of you have experienced in your life. In Psalm 18 and verse 4, the great King David writes, the pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in verse 31 and verse 10, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. David said his life was spent with grief. Depression was something that came up in David's life over and over and over again. And David is really a good person to study because the reasons why David was depressed were numerous. It wasn't just, sometimes we think, oh, David was just depressed in one incident in his life. But David was depressed really bad over one thing. But David was also depressed over this, and he was depressed over this, and he was depressed over this. So David gives us a good example of somebody who could ride high with as high as anybody else in these songs of praise. But he's also a guy who could be as low as you could possibly be. And he could say, my life is a waste. I spend it in grief. The great prophet Elijah. If you have a king, now you have a prophet. The great prophet Elijah went through at least one time in his life where he was very, very down. Life wasn't going the way that he thought it should go. And as a result of that, he came to a point where he just wanted to die. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life. For I am no better than my fathers. Could you imagine this? Elijah came to a point in his life where he just wanted to die. He didn't want to get up and do anything else. He didn't want to go forward. He didn't want to keep going. He wanted to die. And he wanted to die so much that he actually asked God to take his life. That's serious. He gets to the point where he's so low that he not only wants to die, he actually utters those words to God and says, God, please kill me. Don't let me live any longer. Well, Randy read for us. He didn't want to, but he read Job chapter 3 for us. He didn't want to read that depressing reading. I just made him read it, so I didn't have to read it. It's just all these bad things that Job was going through. Well, if you read the first couple of chapters, you find out a lot of the reason why Job felt this way. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But Job came to a point in his life where not only did he want to die, but he also cursed the day he was born. I wish I had never been born. I wish my mother had a miscarriage. I wish I had died at birth. That's low. The feeling of not only wanting to die, but wishing you had never been born. So do you see that depression, and do you see that being down is not something new? And it is not something that is reserved for just a few people. We could go on and on and on about looking at people in the Bible who were down and were depressed. And one of the things that I want to bring out is, yes, we all suffer at different levels. And we all suffer depression for different reasons. But we all suffer depression. Don't you think? You ever been down in the dumps? Anybody here never been down in the dumps? You say, I have never ever in my life been down in the dumps. I have always been on a plane where I just couldn't wait. I've always been drinking from the saucer. Every day of my life, I've just been drinking from the saucer. Everything has just been wonderful. I've never been down in the dumps. I don't think any of us can say that. I think we've all experienced times where we have, if not felt like we wanted to die, we at least wanted to go to our bedrooms for a while and get in our bed and cover our faces up with the covers. You ever want to do that? I don't want to deal with it today. And it may that you got up and dealt with it the next day, but you've had several times like that in your life. As I have, and as all these great people in the Bible had. And that's why the Bible is such a great book, one of the reasons, and why it's so helpful to us. Let's go back and look at the why and the when. Well, let's look at King David. We read part of Psalm 38 after the text that we're reading here. We read some verses that come after verses 3 and 5. And I think this is something that we have to deal with. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. At times, sin is caused depression. Sin causes depression. Not all the time, but sometimes it does, doesn't it? Have you ever sinned and you felt terrible about that? And you were ashamed of it? And David, the way that David says it here is, the soundness of my flesh, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor health in my bones because of my sin. My foolishness has put me in a situation where I have no health of my bones. Brothers and sisters, sin is a burden too heavy for anyone to bear. The great news is, Jesus is willing to take that burden for us. So sometimes, not all the time, but I think we have to start there. As I said over and over and over again, if things aren't going right in your life, look at you first. Are you seeking first God's kingdom of His righteousness? Are you doing the right things? And if you can answer yes to all that question, and you can say, I am doing everything I can do, I am living the kind of life God wants me to live, then you can search for other answers to why you are feeling the way that you are feeling. But I think you have to start there. In Psalm 7 and verse 2, it says, David, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. At times, David was down because he was being treated unfairly by his enemies. And sometimes his enemies were his friends. Saul was his enemy. Although he played the harp for Saul, Saul was trying to kill him. Some of these statements where David in the Psalms is saying how down he is because somebody, the king, is chasing him, wanting to kill him. Now, I will venture to say that there's no one in the audience this morning who someone is trying to kill. If someone is trying to kill you, please let us know and we'll get help for you. We will get restraining orders or we'll do whatever we can. But chances are no one is trying to kill you. David was down a lot because people were constantly trying to kill him. Even his own family members were trying to take over the kingdom and they were doing disgraceful things. And that stuff caused David to be down. So sometimes you're down in the dumps because people just aren't treating you right. People mistreat you. And that happens. That's part of life. And going back to this idea of sin, sin is what caused Judas to kill himself. Sorrow over his sin. He goes back, he tries to give the money back, they refuse to take the money, he throws it, and he goes out and hangs himself. And it was sin that caused Peter to weep bitterly because he knew that he had denied the Lord on three different occasions. So in David's example, what caused David to be down in the dumps? What caused David to be depressed? Some of it was his own sin. Some of it was the consequence of a sin. And some of it was because he killed a giant and Saul didn't like that, so Saul was trying to kill him. Some of it was because other people were mistreating him. And sometimes we will suffer and we will get depressed because people aren't doing the right thing by us. That's a part of life. But what about Elijah? Elijah was a guy who was depressed because Jezebel vowed to kill him within the next 24 hours. Again, somebody seeking his life. And not only seeking his life, you know, sometimes people throw out the statement, and they shouldn't happen. We should never say this, but I'm going to kill you. A kid might say that one time. I'm going to kill you. Does anybody ever get, oh, no, I'm going to get so depressed because somebody just shouted out they're going to kill me? Probably not. And we don't take that very seriously. We don't think somebody's actually going to come kill us. But what if it is the queen and she vows to kill you within 24 hours? And she vows that if she doesn't accomplish this in the next 24 hours, then let her soul be dead. Let her die. Think that'll put you down in the dumps? Think that'd get you where you didn't want to get up and do anything? Where you wanted to hide in a cave for a while? Well, when did this happen? We have the why here, but when did it happen? When was he susceptible to this area of depression? And I think this is an interesting thing because it came right after a great victory. Here, Elijah has just challenged all the prophets of Baal. He makes the statement to the Israelites, why do you falter? How long will you falter between two opinions? If Baal is God, then serve Baal. But if God is God, then serve God. Why are you so confused about this thing? All we need to do is find out who God is. And once we find out who God is, then we'll know what we're supposed to do. Baal is God, serve him. God is God, serve him. And so they have this great big contest on top of the mountain. All the 450 prophets of Baal, they get there. Elijah comes up with a situation where they have two different sacrifices. The prophets of Baal have one, and Elijah has the other. And so Elijah tells them to go first. And so they all get this
their sacrifice ready, and they start crying out to their gods. Send fire from heaven, send fire from heaven. And they're crying out all day long. And Elijah's over here taunting them a little bit. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's on vacation. Yell a little bit louder, he might hear you. Maybe he's asleep, he could be taking a nap. And so all these prophets of Baal actually start cutting themselves, thinking that that would make this God that doesn't exist help them. Send fire from heaven. And remember that after that was over, Elijah called all the people to him, and they drench his sacrifice with all this water, and he calls up to the God of heaven, and the fire comes up, and it consumes everything, water and all. So he has this great victory. And it was after this great moment of victory that I just told you the story in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, that he went because Jezebel was seeking his life, and he went and hid himself. And my point being, sometimes after great moments of accomplishment is when people feel the lowest. It's sort of odd, but that's what happens. And so you have this moment where Elijah was on top of the world. He had just killed all the 450 prophets of Baal. God had stood up for him and done what he had asked God to do. Great victory. And do you think Satan's happy with God's people feeling victorious? If you were Satan, when would you try to knock you down a peg? You think, I mean, it's all right to take a guy who's totally depressed and make him feel worse, but what about taking a guy who's up here, had just accomplished something great? I think Satan takes great delight into knocking that person down and to making that person suffer. And so even after great victory, what about Job? Job chapter 1, verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Then a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. He talks about all of the people being raided. He talks about losing his camels, losing his sheep, all of his sons and daughters being killed in one moment in time. And if you go through and continue reading that, you find out that he has all these boils on him. He is sick, and his wife is the only one left. He has lost all of his children. He has lost all of his financial possessions. Has anybody ever been depressed because of their financial situation? You think anybody's ever been depressed because of that? You add having nothing to losing your children, and then getting sick, and then your wife turning to you and saying, curse God and die? No wonder he said what he said in Job chapter 3. I think most of us probably would have wished we'd never been born too, with this extensive suffering that he was going through. Job was depressed because he had lost everything. And our country is a great country. And even if we lost everything, Lee Greenwood sings that song, doesn't he? I'm proud to be an American. Basically, that deal goes, if I had to start all over with just my wife and my kids, I'd be happy that I was starting over in America. And I think we are blessed to be living in this country. Very blessed to be living in a land of opportunity where we can take care of ourselves, we can get jobs, and we can provide for our families. But Job didn't even have his children. He had lost those too. Satan had given Job a terrible sickness. His wife told him to curse God and die. Later, after chapter 3, his friends allege that he is suffering because of sin, when in reality he is suffering because he was righteous. Remember we said sometimes we suffer because of our own sin? Sometimes we suffer because of our righteousness. And we have to be able to discern which is which so that we know how to respond the correct way. Solomon was depressed in the Bible when he realized that life under the sun was vain. Just think, he spent all this time trying to find happiness. We've talked about this, he had money, he had people playing instruments for him, he had vineyards and gardens and everything that he could possibly want in life. He had it. And then he came to a point in life, what a waste. And that might be where we've been depressed at times. We've worked hard to work on our career. We've done this, we've done that. And we find out that we have been wasting our time because that isn't what's really important in life. And we've neglected some more important issues, and that gets us down in the dumps a little bit. Now, it's interesting, Jonah was depressed because God extended mercy to people he thought didn't deserve it. Remember that story? He flees from God, he finally comes back, he does what God wants him to do, he goes and announces to Nineveh that they need to repent, they repent, and he is depressed. He goes, God, I knew that you would do that. I knew that you were a God full of mercy, and if they repented, you would save them. And he was down in the dust because of that. May that never be the case for us. Well, how do we overcome it? Psalm 51 and verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. If you are depressed because you have sinned, the only thing you can do is confess your sin and turn to the Lord for help. That's it. That's what God expects, and that's what God deserves. If we are where we are because of our bad choices, like David said, my foolishness has put me here. My sin has made you angry with me. Who are we to think, all right, God, I want you to not be angry with me anymore, but I'm not going to make my life right. I still want to make foolish choices. I still want to do foolish things. I don't want to confess my sin, but please take this depression away from me. That's not going to happen. Sometimes if our depression is caused because of our sin, we need to thank God for our depression. It is His way of getting our mind right again. It is His way of putting us in a position where we don't want to keep living like this, and so we make the changes necessary. So if you've ever been depressed because of your sin, you ought to thank God that He gave you that depression to get you out of that sin. And Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. If our depression is being caused because people are mistreating us, the solution is to ask God for help. Ask God, God, take my enemies away. Don't let people treat me like that anymore. That's what David did. And David had trust and confidence in the Lord's mercy. Now I want you to notice what Job did. We know how the rest of the book of Job goes. It's a very fascinating book. His three friends come. They don't say anything for an extended period of time. They finally start talking. They give him terrible advice. They're all wrong, all three of them. Finally, another friend comes in, gives them some good advice. Then God speaks. And he says, Job, prepare yourself like a man. You're going to stand before me. We're going to have a conversation. And so God has this interaction with Job. Job finally recognizes that, you know what? I have been asking questions I have no right to ask. Because a lot of times, don't we ask that question, why me? Why are all these things happening to me? And it might be that you go through your life and you realize it's not because of your sin. We don't know why things are always happening. Job had no clue that he was actually suffering because he was righteous. And it was a conversation between God and the devil that prompted this. The bottom line is we have to trust God no matter what's going on in our life, that he will see us through those times. But look what Job did when he first heard that all of his children were dead and he had lost all of his earthly possessions. I don't know that we can really put ourselves in that situation, can we? None of us have ever lost all of our earthly possessions. Some of us have been broke, significantly broke. But most of us have not lost, none of us have lost all of our family. Some of us may have lost family members, kids even. But I can't imagine losing all of my kids in one day. Job arose, tore his clothes. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. If our depression is caused by life's extreme challenges, worship God. Sometimes in a moment of depression, you don't feel like worshiping God. That is the time where we need to worship Him the most. Because no matter what happens in life, there's one thing that is constant. God is still good. God never stops being good. And God never stops taking care of us if we're doing the right things. It may not seem like it all the time to us, and we'll get to that in just one second. But we need to worship God. And brothers and sisters, if we are depressed, do not sin because you're depressed. You think that's going to motivate God to help you? And don't blame God. Don't blame God. Because all suffering originates with sin of some sort, whether it's my sin or your sin or somebody else's sin. It's not God's fault. Well, let's look at Elijah. Elijah's an interesting case. He's hiding under the broom tree. God sends an angel, wake up, gives him food. He goes back to sleep. Talk about depression makes you sleep. And he says, wake up, makes him eat. He goes on in the strength of that food for over 40 days and 40 nights. And he's in a cave, still mourning and depressed. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it. He's asking about he's hearing all these things that the wind, it's not God's not in the wind, and this is the passage that we're talking about. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face with his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "Oh, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." I think it's interesting. Let's stop there for a second. Elijah's in this cave. God speaks to him. "What are you doing here?" Oh, Elijah has a great answer, right? "I should be in the cave. I should be depressed. God, don't you see? I have worked hard my entire life, and these stinking children of Israel, they don't appreciate anything, and there's nobody left. I am it. And now they're trying to kill me." In verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Then he tells them to appoint a king over Syria. He tells them to appoint Jehu king over Israel and make Elisha his servant, the one that is going to take his place. And then in verse 18, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And the point that I want to bring out from that is, one, if we are down, what do you need to do? Get busy doing God's work. Sometimes just getting out of bed and getting busy doing what God wants you to do is the best thing you could possibly do. Because staying in bed typically makes you want to stay in bed more. And then the next point is, get God's perspective on things. Elijah didn't have God's perspective. What was Elijah's perspective? Oh, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. What was God's perspective? Elijah, get up. You're not the only one left. Do what I tell you to do. There are still 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And then finally, the answer is always God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to be honest with you. I've never been as depressed as some of these guys. I've been down in the dumps. And you know what? My life has not been as bad as their lives were. I can guarantee you that. Job had a lot worse than any of us will ever have it, hopefully. Right? Most of us have never been in that situation. Let's pray that we never get in that situation. Most of us have never had somebody trying to kill us. But we do suffer. We do suffer from our own sin, and we do suffer because life is challenging sometimes. And sometimes we lose jobs. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we lose family members. Sometimes we struggle financially. Those things happen in life. And the answer is turn to God. So it might be you're here today and you've been suffering with depression. And again, if it's medically, you have to take medicine for that. I am all for that. Please keep taking that medicine, but God can still make things better. But it could be that you're thinking about yourself today and you're thinking, you know what, I'm depressed. I'm depressed because I just haven't been living right. If that's the case, the only answer is to confess the sin and turn to God. That's the only thing I can tell you to do, because that's what God tells you to do. That's what David did. And it could be that you're depressed because just the ordinary situation in life, and you want help from your brothers and sisters to pray for you, and you want to turn to God. You want to praise God even when you're depressed. You want to worship God even when you're depressed. You want to make sure that you're not blaming God for your situation, and you want to make sure that you're not sinning in that situation, and you need our help. We'll be glad to help you in any way that we can. But what we're going to do is everybody is going to make it a determination that no matter where you are, if you're here, happy as can be, or if you're down in the dumps, that you are going to be committed to serving God. And if we do that, everything will turn out. If it doesn't turn out very well here, it's going to turn out one day, as we started off our sermon, we will see the King someday. And we'll be with Him where there is no depression, there's no sadness, there's no sorrow, there's no canes. As Jerry's walking around with a cane today, there's no bad backs. There's no diabetes. There's no bad knees. There's none of those things. There's no missing a kidney, not having a kidney. None of those things, as we suffer with right now, as some of you are suffering with right now. So everybody, right now, make a commitment, privately or publicly, to serve the Lord with all your heart as we stand and sing.